Welcome to the monthly podcast, exclusively for Somerset Football Association referees.
Watch the referees now!
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Wallace.
Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Referees World podcast. My name's Darren Daly, I'm a level 5 referee, and this is Somerset FA's County Training Officer, and now a league assessor, Richard Mellon.
Hello Darren.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Janie Frampton as our guest speaker. She's the National Referee Manager for Training and Education.
And as it proved on the day, not only did she do a good job, she made one outstanding decision.
We have a 10-point plan to success and becoming a successful referee. Rich's tip of the month, which is proving very popular at the moment. Had some very good feedback about that.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear that.
A review of one of my recent games from an assessor's point of view. Plus, we have another match incident. First of all, though, let's kick off with the news headlines.
Referees World News Update.
So, first of all, some good news. The Referees World podcast appears to be going global.
We've gone global.
Brilliant. Based Absolutely. On the stats. This is great news.
Amazing. I like keeping hearing the stats you provide, Darren. So, here we are. We're being heard in USA, Mexico, Brazil, Ireland.
Canada. And obviously in the UK.
And the UK.
So please, spread the word. You can find us on iTunes, or obviously you can find us online as well. Next up, obviously, the one event which has pretty much overshadowed most things in football over the last few weeks or so is the Keys and Grey blunder. First of all, Rich, what's your view on this whole situation?
Well, I totally agree with your description, and it's a massive blunder in my view. Guys in their position that have so much influence globally, not just in the UK, shouldn't be making comments like that, and I never heard any humour in their comments. Although people want to call it banter, I totally disagree.
Now, that's the negative side. However, there has actually been a positive side, and by that what I'm referring to is the fact that female officials are now being recognised a lot more. Plus, and I'm sure Janie Frampton will talk more about this when we speak to her later on, there's been a lot more interest from other females wanting to take up refereeing.
Absolutely, and why not? I mean, there's no reason, as we go back to podcast one, that we made a statement about female referees' involvement in the game. And it can only be better for the game to have everybody involved. It's a community sport, and so why not?
And the Carling Cup appointments have been announced. And this is great news for Somerset FA, because one of our boys is going to be doing it.
Yeah, one of our boys. We're proud to say that Ron Ganfield has been appointed as an assistant referee for the Carling Cup final, Arsenal versus West Ham.
Brilliant.
Well done, Ronnie.
You may remember in the last episode, we named and shamed Ron as being a bit of a cross-dresser, had a bit of a thing for putting a wig on and dressing up as a woman. Well, I phoned Ron the other day, and this was his response, having heard the podcast and probably had a fair bit of jip from a few of his mates as well.
Hello.
Ron, it's Darren.
Hello, mate, you idiot. I'll tell you what, I'm going to kill you when I see you. You're a f***ing My missus still ain't having it.
Oh, really?
No, my missus still ain't having it. She's locked all her clothes away from me. She thinks I'm going to be trying them on. Thanks a lot, son. Thanks a lot. Wait. And another thing, I've had a phone call from the playhouse. They want me to star in the pantomime. They want me to star in Cinderella. They want me to be Cinderella.
Brilliant. That was brilliant.
Yeah, that was good. But I'm not so sure about Cinderella. More like an ugly sister.
This is Referees World.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon. Our guest speaker is Janie Frampton, the National Referee Manager for Training and Education. We'll speak to her shortly. First up, though, let's go through this 10-point plan to becoming a successful referee, Rich. Feeling good about refereeing. We'll do the first five now, and then we'll do the next five towards the end of the show.
Yeah, we believe that our 10-point plan is a plan for success.
Is this a plan that's come direct from the FA?
Pushed by the FA, yes. Number one, believe in yourself.
That's a confidence thing, isn't it?
Confidence. It takes courage, but believe in yourself. Courage and confidence, and lots of other things associated with that. Number two, think positive. A mindset for success. Go out there, think positive, using your self-beliefs, using your knowledge, develop your skills, and have the right attitude.
And if you've got the confidence, then that will obviously grow the step that we're just talking about.
Absolutely. Number three, transfer the knowledge off the field into practice. Take it out onto the field of play. Practice, practice, practice before you get out there, though. Don't just go out there totally cold.
When you say practice, can you elaborate on that a bit more?
Theory. Let's talk about what you will say to players when you're in that moment of being questioned, or the player comes running at you, wants to know what the decision was about, and he may not be kind to you when he first addresses you. So what are you going to say to him? Are you able to have a conversation ad hoc, off the sleeve, or do you need to practice it? Do you need to know what you're going to say before the game? Number four, solicits feedback on your performance. Feedback comes in many ways, not just assessors, not just a coach. Players might have a point. Consider their view. It might be worthwhile and might be worth using as regards a bit of feedback.
And number five?
Number five, control the controllables. You know what the laws of the game are. You've got the knowledge. Use your skills. Develop your skills and control the controllable. If you see it, you can deal with it. Simple stuff.
Contact us now. refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
We'll do the next 5 points after we've spoken to our guest speaker tonight. We're delighted to welcome onto the Referees World podcast, Janie Frampton, the National Referee Manager for Training and Education. Janie.
Hello, Darren. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Very well. Rich?
And I'm well as well, thank you.
Excellent. Firstly, thanks for taking time out. I know it's been very busy for you. How long have you been in the game?
In the game. This will be my 23rd year as a referee. I started out as a 15-year-old playing. And then when I wanted to come back to the game in the 20s, there was no playing opportunity, so I took up refereeing and have been there ever since and carried on playing and coaching and gave that up when I had to make, you know, clear decisions of where my future lay in football.
As a referee, are you still actively refereeing now?
Yes.
And what level are you?
Oh, I'm level 5 now. I had to drop down because I became a certain age and came off a certain list.
Damn that!
Can I ask the question, Janie, or should we leave that alone?
You could ask the question.
No, I wouldn't be rude to you.
I do.
Yeah.
Give him a slap next time you see him, Janie.
Pleasure.
Can you explain your role, what you do?
Basically, my role in education and training is to look at the needs of our referees at all levels within the national game and develop the education and training to suit those needs. So anything from basic referee training, promotion training, CPD, in-service training, qualifications on national frameworks, all of that is mine, my responsibility, and also working within education, so schools, FE and HE are my responsibility. And of course, I have clear responsibility for the development of female referees.
The figures for female referees currently in the game in the UK, how do those look?
It's actually quite interesting, Richard, how they look, because some 6 years ago, when I took responsibility of female referee development, we had around 350, but we weren't sure of that number. But that was the line in the sand that we had to work with as a baseline. Now we have 1,270.
Wow.
That's a huge growth in 6 years. But not only is it a huge growth, we actually do retain those referees as well.
That's one of the goals, isn't it? Retention.
It is, and it's 12% up on last year even.
Janie, can I ask you, what do you think it is that has helped create such a huge rise?
I think very, very clearly, I think there's been a huge rise in the participation in football for females. Across coaching, across playing, high-profile players now, our women reaching World Cups under 17s, 20s and the full senior squad. You can look at the Women's Super League and the talking about that and the investment. And all of that encourages females to get involved in football.
Where do you think the interest is actually coming from as regards refereeing? Is it the mums of the young players, or is it players that are retiring coming into the game?
It's interesting because one of my objectives this year is to look at the actual target market and how do we recruit and who do we recruit. And I'm actually going to go wider to the public sector and go to blue chip companies, go to the fire and rescue service and the police service and others, and do some research about how do they actively recruit and what strategies do they use. So when I put that back into refereeing, I would say that at the moment we're probably recruiting some ex-players, which is not always a good idea because those that are still playing or on the verge of playing, they still want to play and referee.
Yeah.
So we have a real sort of split loyalty.
It's something that's very difficult to do, isn't it?
It is. But when you look at our young referees now, Richard, we've got an amazing amount of young girls coming through the system.
It's reflected with the male side of it as well, isn't it? We've got a lot of young people coming into it.
But we're actually getting girls now actually coming through those troubled years where we tend to lose them. And we're getting them through to their early 20s. And I think now, because we are actively promoting role models within the women's game, and as last year, I'm sure you're aware that we actually appointed 11 female referee ambassadors at the FA.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Oh, fabulous. And those girls are absolutely brilliant. Not only are they strong ambassadors for what we do, they actively go out there and encourage the retention of our females.
Can I just ask you, do you know those names off the top of your head?
Challenge, but here goes. I hope you're counting.
Go on.
Una Hong, Natalie Walker, Sarah Hollins, Sean Massey, Lisa Rashid, Amy Rayner, Amy Fern, how dare I?
Correction.
Sasha Irongover, and of course Wendy Toms.
Yeah, of course.
Lucy May, Lorraine Deschamps, Helen Fulcher. Have we got to 11 yet?
We have.
Excellent. That wasn't so bad.
Yeah, that was all right.
Jamie, you've listed a lot of. For me, in refereeing terms, there are some famous names in there, and there are other names that will become famous.
Sure.
I'm not sure that's a good word to use, but I think you understand what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Let me say to you, don't leave yourself out of that bracket, because you were a very capable referee, if you remember those days.
I remember you assessing me, Richard.
Thank you. No. But it was. What I'm trying to get across is there is a definite significant part for female referees or ladies involved in football, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to name some other famous names as well. And let me say, Karen Brady is probably one of the most high-profile names.
Sure.
And let me say, without making any fun of it, Delia Smith.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and Delia made that lovely comment a couple of years ago, stood up in the stands and said, come on, my lovelies. I mean, how passionate is that?
Do you think having ladies in football that are not actually on the field of play, like the ladies that Rich has just mentioned, is an encouragement for girls to get on board at refereeing standard?
Oh, absolutely. I think Richard just made a very valid point about, for example, Delia Smith. It's not all about what you do on the field. You need those role models on and off the field. You need the drivers. You know, having been an active referee at a reasonable level myself, I now know that I have the ability and the opportunity to drive this from within the organisation. So whilst I might not be reaching the higher echelons on the field anymore, I have such a place to play, as does Wendy Toms and as does Delia Smith. And other people like that. It's all about the profile of the females that actually come out and speak about the positive side of football.
Absolutely. We like to sort of proudly present our names from Somerset's point of view, and I'm looking at the list I've got here in front of me. I've only got three names, but I know there are more, so I apologise for those names that I don't call out. But Megan Farrant, Joe Stimson, Megan Prescott-Reed, there's just three names, and I think we've got 15, maybe 20 names in the county.
It's interesting that Somerset have done an enormous amount of work with Keith Buller heading that up on the recruitment and retention of females. Keith is quite passionate about it, and he's worked incredibly hard. And yes, the size of your county, the percentage of females is incredibly high.
Can I ask you, because it was going to come up in conversation anyway, the whole Andy Gray and Richard Keys affair, and we were talking about this before we came on air. It's actually, despite the negative side of it, has actually span round and really given a positive view on female officials, don't you think?
Actually, from our point of view, we don't actually see any negative point about it. When you look at the fact that this came about by comments about Sian, about whether she had the ability to do the job or not. It was nothing to do with Sian's actual ability to do that job. And as it proved on the day, not only did she do a good job, she made one outstanding decision that should be recognised and praised. Now, the most interesting part of all of that was the fact that none of this was actually about Sian. It was about comments made about Sian. So from our point of view, the fact that Sian was incredibly professional, she kept her dignity and therefore her credibility. And by doing that, obviously society recognised those comments were just completely out of order and just unacceptable. It was always going to be a positive. Sian was always going to be a winner in that if you look at.
Can I ask you how much more interest you've had over the last few weeks, ever since that took place, from younger female, from females in general, looking at perhaps taking a referee's course?
Do you know what? There's been a massive interest from all the way around. There's been from some counties who have already contacted me, said they couldn't believe the interest that's been shown. Where they've struggled to put on, for example, women-only courses, all of a sudden, women are coming to them and saying, I'd like to take the next referee's course.
Isn't it weird? That whole incident has been like a huge, huge advert.
Brilliant.
A recruitment drive for female officials.
And I've had emails from women, not in football, not in refereeing, are saying, hey, this is fantastic, well done to Sian, you know, she's sticking up, for, you know, she's been portrayed for all the things that are good and right. I've even had Jackie Oakley emailing me about her experiences and how proud she was of Sian and the way Sian managed all this.
She has managed it superbly, hasn't she? I mean, you know, to be thrown into the limelight in the way that she has been. And from a media point of view, I think the way it's been dealt with the whole matter, taking her off certain games, I think, has been brilliant. I mean, that was definitely the right thing to do to protect her, really, which is the reason why it's done.
And one thing I have to say that I found absolutely incredible was last Friday or Thursday evening, I had a phone call from Mike Riley. Now, Mike Riley, you know, is the general manager of the PGMO, the select group, and he had sent one of his top members of staff to all the games that the women were out on that Saturday. All the FIFA women and the assistant referees, the referees and the assistant referees. Now, that was, for me, a fantastic move that Mike was sending out key people in case there was any media attention to protect the girls. And I even said to him, oh, by the way, Helen Fulcher has a game on Sunday at Knott Forest. And he said, OK, leave that with me. And then he had one of his managers lined up to go and watch Helen on the Sunday.
It was very clever management, Jane, isn't it? Very clever management.
It was brilliant. What a breath of fresh air, Richard, to see such support from that level for the women.
Yeah. I mean, and the ironic thing is, the ladies involved are not asking for the cameras to be turned around on them for any special reason.
No.
So, you know, they're not looking to take the attention. And the focus must remain on the game itself.
That is absolutely right. And I remember, Richard, going back some years when myself, Wendy and Amy did the first men's professional game in this country and in Europe and wider, I understand, that was refereed by all females. And I can remember going back then, and we were all saying, no, no interviews, it's not about us, this is about the 3 points on this game that are very important to the two teams.
Yeah.
And let's not forget as well, you've got there through merit. You have to be
hugely.
You have to be good at what you're doing to have achieved and be selected for these positions.
Hugely, and I will always stand up and say the same. And Richard knows, he came up through the period of our football where he was very supportive with Wendy and I. He knows what we went through. He knows how hard we had to work. But on the other side of that coin, I wouldn't want any positive discrimination for the girls.
And there wasn't, was there?
Never. You know, there still isn't. And I'm adamant even now that, you know, that's not how we work. That's not what we do. That would set us back 20 years if we showed any positive discrimination or fast-tracking or whatever anybody likes to call it.
Do you think that in the years to come we could have an all-female official team on a Premiership game?
Oh, yeah.
And how far away do you think that is?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a good
because,
one.
Because, I mean, if ever there was a turning point, the incident, it's going to really help it bring it a lot closer.
It is certainly going to help it. But don't forget, we've already had one female running the line on the Premier League before.
Yeah, Wendy Toms.
Wendy Toms.
Dear Wendy, yeah.
So this is not new. This is exciting because it's the second one now. This is almost new generation now coming through. Sian having achieved what she did to be put on the select group as an assistant referee is amazing. But let's look also at the future and say that doesn't mean to say Sian could possibly be the first referee because her skills may lay in designated assistant refereeing.
Yeah.
So we have to look at the future and look at what who we deem our top female referees coming through for the future are.
Let's step away from the soapbox then. Let's go to another area that you're involved with. I want people to understand, and let's spread the word a little bit, about your other involvement, not just with the FA, but you're a UEFA instructor.
Oh, I'm a FIFA instructor.
Sorry, that's me wrong again, that's twice.
Yeah.
That's twice, FIFA instructor. Sorry,
I'm a FIFA instructor. There's 7 females in the world involved as FIFA instructors.
Wow. And you're 1 of 7.
I am.
Now that's a select group,
if
there was.
Jenny, that's wonderful.
It's brilliant news.
It's an absolute honour, and it's always incredibly humbling any time that I get the call from FIFA to work for them. I do have a great relationship with them, but they again have worked tirelessly to look at not just having an all-female environment, but it's about understanding that females perform better when their instructors or their analysts are female. And we do have male input, some of the setters are male, and that is absolutely good and it's healthy. So my job on FIFA tournaments is to go off for 5 or 6 weeks at a time and either be an instructor delivering practical training and the theory training in the classroom, or, which is equally so much fun, is to be the technical analyst. Wow. So you end up watching all 34 games.
Wow.
And it is the most amazing experience when you either watch them live at the stadium or you watch them on live feed at the television centres.
That's referee in heaven.
Oh. you would never understand, Richard, that what sits behind it is fabulous. I mean, there was a company in Scotland that we used to send them sort of 10 different headings,
yeah,
and they would clip every game, and then they would drop the clips into these folders, and then at the end of the game, within 30 minutes, I could go online to this company and I could look at all the folders and see if they'd clipped things that I wanted, or I would tag them as well.
That is fantastic.
It was just amazing. It was out of this world.
Mm-hmm. Janie, it's been lovely to speak to you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Janie, thank you so much for taking the time out.
You're welcome, Darren.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon. You can get us on iTunes now. Just go onto iTunes, search for Referees World, and then you can subscribe that way. Okay, let's move on. We've got a little review of one of my games coming up shortly. We have a match incident to talk about. First, let's go back to the 10-point plan of success. We did 5 just before we spoke to Janie. Let's come back and do the remaining 5. Rich.
Point number 6, smart. Be smart. And I don't just mean look the part, which is important because that's about first impressions, but be smart out on the field of play. Are you going to stand there having made a decision and wait for comment by looking the player straight in the eye? Or should you just turn and go away? Otherwise, if you stay there, you could be seen as provoking a comment that you don't want to hear. So be smart.
Okay. Point number 7.
Point number 7. Be tough at the right time. And you know what they say when the tough get going? Or the going gets tough.
The going gets tough.
Yeah, going gets tough. When the going gets tough. Okay, so be tough at the right time. Let me say to you, if you see denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, then don't disappoint, because everybody will expect the ultimate outcome. If you take your eye off the ball and you give a yellow card for what is denial, then your credibility goes straight down the pan. So be tough at the right time, because it is expected when it's obvious. Point 8, engage your senses. Don't lose your concentration. Keep your focus, try to relax, and don't forget, smile.
Okay, next point, Rich?
Yes, point 9. Just simple words here, and I'm almost sounding like a politician, but prepare, prepare, prepare. Every area of your refereeing performance needs to be prepared. How do you do it? How do you prepare? How do you look when you make signals? Do you know? Do you watch? Do you practice in front of the mirror? Simple things like that. Prepare, prepare, prepare.
And those of us that were scouts or cubs as a youngster, then preparation is what's drilled into you then as well.
Dib, dib.
Dib, 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 yeah. And finally, point 10.
Point 10. Most important, most important. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy refereeing. If you don't enjoy it, should you be refereeing?
Contact us now. Referees World Podcast at gmail.com.
So, still to come on the Referees World podcast, we have our tip of the month coming up. We have a quick review of a game that I did recently. First of all, let's do some dates for the diary. Rich, what you got?
I've got a date of 10th of March
yep.
at the Somerset County FA headquarters in Glastonbury, and it's a level 4 meeting. We're going to be beginning our meeting at 7:15, go till 9:30. That's open to all our level 4 referees. Some have already replied. Darren, you as a level 5 looking to go to level 4, you're invited, and so are other colleagues that have already shown an interest to progress to level 4 for this season.
And don't forget, if there's anything that you would like us to mention maybe for your local RA, or if you've got any events coming up that you'd like to stick in the diary, then please, it could be anything. It could be a fun run, it could be a night of bingo, a skittle night or something like that. Just drop us a line at this email address, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon. Thanks very much for listening to the show. As we already mentioned at the beginning of this episode, it seems like we're going global. We've got listeners now in, where was it, Rich? Mexico?
USA.
USA. Canada.
Brazil.
Brazil.
Ireland.
Ireland. And, of course, the UK.
And the UK.
Brilliant.
Welcome.
Excellent. And thank you very much for listening in. Right, now, a couple of weeks ago, I had a game. It was Watch It versus... I've forgotten, who was it?
Cheddar. It was Cheddar.
Oh, that's a good start. It was Watch It versus Cheddar, OK, in the Somerset County Prem. And I invited Rich to come down with me because he wasn't on league assessor's duty on that particular day. So I just wanted to get some feedback, and I thought it would be good for Rich to share with all of us, really, the good points, the bad points, the faults and that kind of stuff.
Firstly, Darren, I've got to say, you haven't got faults. Referees have got areas in which they can improve.
I like that. Now, that's a good confidence boost.
Yeah. Simple theory, positive mindset, areas in which can be improved.
Yeah.
They're not faults.
In terms of the game itself, Watch It's a big pitch. It's long, it's wide, if you've never been down there before, and it's effectively on the top of a cliff, right? So the wind can come howling in, and on that day, it came howling in.
And I saw no ships.
No, exactly.
But there's a lot of seaside out there.
Right, OK, Rich, I'll hand this bit over to you because, like I say, you've got the notes there in front of me. First of all, the weather, it was a very blustery day.
It was a blustery day, and when it's windy conditions, you've got to take consideration of the drop-in zone. So we'll talk about that in a while. Let me throw something at you here. Were you conscious about me watching you?
Yes.
You can't be doing that. You must be clear on what the game is about. The game is about 22 players, reds versus blue, if that's the case. And you as referee have got to focus and concentrate on the job in hand. Forget about the people watching. Forget about that bloke writing about you.
It's knowing that somebody's there, though. Every referee that's had an assessment this season would say exactly the same.
But referees learn how to deal with that, and that's what we've all got to do. We've all got to learn of how to get to deal with somebody watching you. Mm. And there are thousands of people being watched the game every week. You've got to learn how to deal with that. Okay. What do you think about your fitness?
I think, without blowing smoke up my bottom, I would say I've got a reasonable level of fitness. I'd like to think that it certainly showed on that day. My assessments have come back with a positive fitness result. So
totally agree with your comment about your level of fitness for that day. Your level of fitness was good for that game. Consider this. Is your level of fitness ready for the next level?
I put a lot of work into my fitness, and yeah, I think having been on the line on several occasions for this season and seen the speed in which the game is played, that there are some Western League games, for example, that perhaps don't play as fast as Somerset County Prem games.
Of course, that is true. What it is, when you're an assistant referee, the game looks quite easy, and that could be down to the competency of the referee. Not just the players, but the competency of the referee. He's got tight control, he's not letting anything silly go, he's nicking all the half fouls, or the nearly fouls, as we might want to call them, and he's keeping tight control. Let me ask about, what was your general thoughts about player management?
Bearing in mind the nature of the game, Cheddar, top of the league, Watch It, I think, were fifth or sixth. Watch It is well known for being quite a difficult place to go, because you've got the crowd on your back, and they do get quite a good turnout. They're a hard tackling team. I felt that I controlled them quite well.
Yeah, I would agree, you did. You had a good rapport with the players. You were seen to be conversing with them at the right time, not continually, otherwise they will get fed up with you and you'll dry up and you'll lose your focus by talking too much to players. It's a skill that you've got to learn as regards how much you communicate with the players or let them play. What about your overall match control? Did you enjoy the game?
I thoroughly enjoyed the game. It's one of those pitches that I love going to. And I think the players on both teams, they wanted to play football. They didn't want to kick chunks out of each other.
You've got to be able to transfer that energy and enthusiasm to every game that you go to. Not just Cheddar and watch it in the Somerset County Premier League, but every game you do as a referee. You've got to take that everywhere you go, whether it's Division 5 in the Taunton and District, or it's Cheddar in the County League, or if you go to the next level next year, you've got to take that enthusiasm energy with you. Okay, the development point that we talked about, Darren, and we talked about it at half-time, because I wasn't there assessing you, but I was there in a coaching capacity. We went in at half-time, and I said to you about the injured player. Can you remember that scenario?
Yeah.
Talk to me about the injured player and how it came about and what you did.
Yeah, there was a challenge. Our player went down, stayed down. I knew that the trainer had to come on, the physio had to come onto the pitch. So I went over and I stuck my head in, basically, and I kind of took my eye off the rest of what was going on.
Yeah. Fault. That is a fault, if you want to use the word fault.
Okay.
It's an error, though. Let me say to you, when players require assistance from the physio, let them have that time, because if that player was injured in a challenge and he thought it was a foul, you're the first person on the scene, and the first thing he's likely to say to you is a mouthful of abuse, because he thinks you missed a foul and he's hurt and he's injured. So don't be the first person on the scene. Make sure that you invite the trainer on. Get the trainer to him as soon as possible. Let the trainer sort him out. You stand to the side and observe the remainder of the players on the field of play. The error that you did that day was to be the first on the scene. The player gave you a load of abuse. And then when he was being treated, you croupied down on your haunches and stuck your head into the lion's mouth again.
My very first assessment for this season, I was told, when somebody's injured, get the trainer on and go away. Leave them to it.
There you are. So I'm not the first.
No, exactly. And again, this is something we haven't discussed or talked about, is marks. How would you have marked that performance?
Okay, the mark for that level is expected for a referee is 70. That's the expected standard. Based upon the competencies that you displayed, and there were good competencies, and an area for development that we've just discussed, I would be looking at a mark around about 76, 77. And that certainly goes towards a capable performance, and potentially you're looking to move to the next level within half a season, if that's possible.
This is Referees World.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon. Don't forget, you can email us, you can contact us, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes as well. So, still to come then, we have a match incident from Janie as well. It was great to hear Janie's view of things, particularly with the incident everybody's been talking about from a female perspective.
Absolutely, and also a little bit of information about female referees within our game.
She's got such a great job. Hard work, but a great job.
Absolutely, very hard work.
Also, we have the tip of the month coming up shortly, and we'll just very briefly touch on the laws of wearing spectacles on the field of play. Right, Rich, let's do our tip of the month.
Okay, tip of the month. Quite simple, this one. It's 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon or 10:30 Sunday morning.
3 o'clock, I would blow the whistle, start the watch, and let's play.
Okay, think about what you've just done. Blowing the whistle first and then starting the watch. Whilst you're playing around with your watch, trying to see the button, you take your eyes off the game. 2 seconds, half a second, whatever it might be.
Two watches as well.
Oh, even worse.
So, well, have you got to, yeah.
4 seconds, that is.
Yeah, exactly. No, but actually, when you think about it, it's logic, because if you blow the whistle, the game's kicked off. Look how far a game can proceed in 10 seconds.
Oh, you're up, right? You're up the other end of the field of play.
Yeah, so you look at your watch, then you look at your other one. So at that point, a nasty challenge could have come in. You might have had a bit of contact with a couple of players that don't like each other.
Absolutely. So, tip is, start your watch first, then blow the whistle.
That's a great little tip, actually. These little tips, very, very handy. I've used last month's a couple of times.
And how did you get on?
Well, the first time I did it, you saw me pull the red card out instead of the yellow one, because I used to keep my cards in my little wallet in my pocket of the shirt, okay? I then decided to do what Richard said, so have yellow card in my left pocket, red card in my right pocket, and it really confused me. And the day Rich came to see me do a game, I had to show a yellow card, and I pulled the wrong colour card out, which created a bit of amusement.
Yeah, I mean, I can't...
But we all laughed about it, and it was...
We had a smile. Yeah. I grimaced and ducked under the stand out the way, you know, when everybody was gasping, what's he doing?
This is Referees World.
We've got a match incident coming up from Janie Frampton. It's a short one, a sweet one, but one that's very different, I think it's fair to say, isn't it?
It's a cracker.
Let's have a look at the laws of wearing specs on the field of play.
The law regarding this is reads as follows. In view of new technology that has made sports spectacles much safer, both for wearer and players, referees should allow tolerance when authorising their use, particularly younger players. This piece here refers to players under the age of 11. Both are descriptions of what sports spectacles should be and how they should be worn. This was sent to us by an optician who has concerns with injuries with players wearing spectacles during games. Now, imagine the risk of the ball hitting the player in the face. He wants to head the ball, but for whatever reason, it hits him round about the bridge of the nose. Now, if you've played the game, you know that hurts without having to wear spectacles. So if you're wearing spectacles and there's an injury, imagine the extent of the injury. Please don't be that referee that allows a young person to wear glasses, bog standard glasses out in the street that you might wear all day. Think about sports spectacles if you can. Let's make the game safe for young players. You need to ask them to understand your responsibilities, and it is your responsibility as referee. We went to watch it that day, and there was a player that came on as a substitute wearing sports spectacles. Okay. What preparation did you do on the day? You didn't wait until he came on as a sub. What did you do previous to the game?
I have refereed him on several other occasions anyway, but prior to the game, during the warm-up, he was wearing the spectacles then, and I checked them over when we weren't during match time. He told me what they were about. He showed me they come with like a little certificate to prove
they do. That's right.
That they are special polycarbonate or whatever the material is. So I've seen that. So he gave me the proof that they were sports spectacles. And I checked them through. They had the correct materials, and they had the elastic round to keep them on. So when the game started, I knew that they would check through anyway, but I just gave them the once over before he came on, just to make sure that nothing had changed.
Yeah, I mean, you take a proactive approach. Don't wait until the 75th minute when a game's standing at 1-0 and you want to do an inspection of a player's equipment involving glasses. It's a very delicate situation, of course, so perhaps you might ask in your pre-match, are any players wearing sports spectacles?
You're doing it now.
So spectacles. Spectacles. Sports spectacles. Yeah. But what we might do, and I know having spoken to the young man on that match day, they cost him £140, which is a lot of money, but it gives him the pleasure of being able to play football.
I think as well, from a referee's point of view, you're in control of players' safety on the field of play. And if anything does happen, then you're going to be held responsible. And it's going back to your 10-point plan that we were talking about earlier on in the programme.
Control the controllable.
Referee's World. Incidents.
We're very nearly at the end of the Referees World podcast. One final thing, a match incident from Janie Frampton. Janie, tell us your match incident.
I can remember Division 4 Dorset League, so I must have been probably a level 7 or 6 or the equivalent. And I can remember just walking out with the ball, ready for kickoff, and the Hunt came through the cops and through my football field as I was walking out.
Did you do anything in particular, or just stand back and let the dogs
Stop.
And the horses go? Okay, well, that's
a bit of a wrap.
So that was
short, brief, but that's a wrap.
Yeah.
That is.
That's a good one. Excellent. Listen, Janie, thanks very much for sharing your match incident with us as well.
You're more than welcome.
I had one, well, not similar, but I had a recent game. In fact, Richard came to watch me do the game. I had to stop the game after about 25 minutes because one of the lads had spotted some dog mess in the middle of the pitch, so we had to have a shovel job and
a removal
in the middle of the game.
I hope they shovelled it and not you.
Yeah, no, I stood back and called them on. And
sure,
they came
that's
out,
exactly
so.
Right.
Janie, it's been absolutely a pleasure speaking to you.
Pleasure, thank you for inviting me.
So, looking ahead to the next podcast, Rich, what we got?
Yeah, well, Mike Riley wasn't able to come to the podcast recording this time. He's very busy, and I think he might even be out of the country. So I'm going to approach Mike again and see if we can get him for March.
We'll also speak to Ron Gamfield, who's being appointed one of the officials on the Carling Cup final. He's agreed to speak to us after the game so that we can get a full flavour of his whole experience. And thank you very much for listening to the Referees World podcast. Don't forget, if you have any emails for us, you could email refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
The download is complete.